Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Richard Rossi Live. This is Richard Rossi. We're excited about today's program, which will be about the legendary comedian Paul Lynn. His biographer and friend, Kathy Fitzgibbons Rudolph, will be joining us in a few minutes to discuss Paul. I loved him as the center square on the Hollywood Squares, and I also remember him from my childhood, from the Bewitched show. He was Uncle Arthur. He wasn't on a whole lot of episodes, but he made it such an impression. And he was so unique, such a unique character. And also in Bye Bye Birdie, he was the frantic father. He was troubled in many ways in his personal life. And seems like he never quite felt like a great success. He never got the dramatic roles that he was trained for because his kind of snarky persona defined him. The author coming on in a few minutes has an incredible journey from meeting him as a teenager, and she'll tell us the incredible story of how that happened and then remaining his friend through his short life. He died in his 50s. Before we get to that, I did want to announce our Listener Choice Awards. We've been announcing some of these with different programs. We did a cookie search to find the best cookies. And at the Golden Globes, we got in the Golden Globes bags some cookies made by a woman named Jane, and she's out in New York, and her company is Jane Bakes, janebakes.com. I'm not really allowed to eat a lot of sugar and fat and all kind of things. I'm on a pretty strict diet. But she made these cookies, all natural, low sugar, low carb, high fiber, whole wheat, everything I'm allowed, gluten-free. And so I thought, oh, gee, with all these things sounding so healthy, it might be flavor-free because, you know, I grew up at just loving anything that was fattening and fried and bad for you, and anything that was healthy didn't taste as good. But amazingly, her cookies taste better than any cookie, and I shared them with our listeners. I had a bunch of them at our listener parties. And everyone thought they were the best. I mean, they just, you know, Jane Bakes won our Guilty Pleasure Listener's Choice Award. So a big shout out to janebakes.com in New York. Then secondly, a second Listener's Choice Award we're announcing today, we'll be announcing more in coming weeks, is go-karts. I loved go-karts as a kid. My brothers and I built our own makeshift go-karts as a kid and would race them down our steep hill in Westview, Pennsylvania. But this thing is unbelievable, the track, the cars. It's like you're at the Indy 500, you know, fantasy to do this. And my wife and I did it. And my wife's even taken our son back there as a belated birthday present and mother and son time. And they're in Sylmar is where we went. But this the MB2 Raceway has locations all over the place. And they got our best go-kart Listener's Choice Awards, MB2Raceway.com. So congratulations to you both, Jane Bakes and MB2 Raceway. But without further ado, let's get back to Paul Lynn. Our guests will be calling in momentarily. Let me take you back to the days, and I remember watching this with my dad. My dad loved Paul Lynn, and he's one of the few guys that can make my dad laugh. And hopefully you'll be able to hear this okay, but I want to take you back to an old TV set from the 70s, about 40 years ago, back in time. This is Paul Lynn, a few of his zingers from when he was the center square on the Hollywood Squares. Here's Paul Lynn.
Paul Lynn.
The one and only. Mr. Only. True or false? Some airlines now give you a thorough frisking before permitting you to board the plane.
Oh, that's the only reason I fly.
Paul Lynn, he asked him, you know, if you didn't hear that, okay, is it true or false the airlines frisk you now when you go on? And he said, that's the only reason I fly. And that kind of snarky delivery has been copied countless times. Even Seth MacFarlane admitted on the new animated show American Dad that the alien character, they just totally co-opted that voice from Paul Lynn. We'll be sharing a few more of his zingers as we go through the show. And so after a break for program identification, we'll be right back at Richard Rossi Live and our tribute to Paul Lynn, the iconic comic
back in a flash.
Well, you know, when it comes to talk shows, my friend Harvey's all ears, especially when it comes to listening to Rich Rossi live.
Look, smoke signals. I wonder what they say.
Ah, me read him, Kimosami. Let's see, they say, don't forget to listen to Rich Rossi live.
So that's it. Sounds like a wise thing to do. Quick, we better find ourselves a radio.
Hi-ho, Rich Rossi live and away!
We'll be back soon with our Paul Lynn tribute on Richard Rossi Live, and here is another zinger from Paul Lynn from the Hollywood Squares.
Gene Kelly said recently, I'll be pleased if it comes back. It's really a form of courtship. What was he referring to?
His hair.
Back in a moment, Richard Rossi Live, Paul Lynn Tribute Show. Don't go anywhere and share the link with your friends. We'll be back in 20 seconds with our guest, Kathy Fitzgibbons Rudolph. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and on line one, I see that we have our guest Kathy on hold. So, Kathy, can you hear me okay? You're live on the air.
Yes, can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on today.
Sure, my pleasure. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great, and you're so cute, your pictures in here, you and Paul together, and you were a teenager when this all went down, when you became Paul's friend. Is that right?
I was 17 years old. I had a little crush on him, and I was doing research in the library and came across a page that said Paul Lynn's business phone number.
Wow.
And I went home, and I said, Mom, I want to call this number. And my dad and her said, well, if you're going to call, it's got to be person to person because he's never going to answer that phone. And he did.
Now, where were you? Were you in New York at the time, living in New York?
Yes, I live on Long Island now, yes. I was living in Levittown, Long Island, and it was a local public library that I found his phone number after doing research. Amazing.
Now, Kathy, you're 17, said you never, ever ask anything that would let you know a woman's age, but just for the audience sake, this is the 70s, right?
This is 1977. Excuse me, 75 when I first met him. 75 when I was 17. Yeah, you can figure out my age.
75 when you met him. Now, I remember those days. You and I are contemporaries, the same age bracket. And I remember the crushes were around that time where David Cassidy and, you know, my wife had a crush on Robert Redford and, Bobby Sherman. So
yep,
you're very unique.
Yeah.
You don't follow the herd here. You probably were, you know, not too many girls were, you know, they had their Tiger Beats of Leif Garrett or Andy Gibb but Paul Lynn, this is a very unique crush. So I think you would fit the survey that says that women are attracted to a sense of humor. That this you certainly would be
absolutely
proof of that, because Paul was not the heartthrob for a lot of teen girls. This is very unique, isn't it?
Yes, very, very unique. You know, there was a big age difference, but I just liked his humor. I you know, I've seen him out of the shows, but what grabbed me was Hollywood Squares. His sense of humor, I mean, they asked him questions that just made me, you know, fall off my seat. He was way ahead of his time. And,
yeah, he was
you know,
so funny.
Yeah, he was great.
You know,
on
and,
the show.
You know, I tell you, we took another look at Paul in these pictures, because he was, you know, a comic, and you didn't think of him like that. I mean, I was telling some of my friends and family about your book and showing them the book and how you had this crush on him and met him as a teen. And I said, you know, the rest of us didn't think of him that way. But I showed the pictures. I said, you know, when you look at the pictures, everyone agreed he was really a handsome guy.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And you know what? He got more love letters than anybody on NBC, believe it or not, at that time.
Is that right?
Women liked him. Oh, and I have readers that write to me and say, oh, my God, I also had a crush on him. And they're my
wow.
age. It wasn't – there was something about him. He was sexy. He had beautiful eyes, great teeth, and he was so funny. So, you know what? The attraction – he's a very handsome man. He was always making faces on TV, but if you saw him, like, on Squares, you get to see him, you know, with his natural look. And I just found him so – you know, suave and unique. I didn't realize, you know, that it wasn't all an act. It was his personality. I just thought he was just hysterical.
Now, he had a pretty rough, growing up in Ohio, though, it seems like he had a pretty rough childhood. He was overweight, and I got the feeling he was teased and a bit of a misfit. So he was, for lack of a word, it's like the old story about the awkward duckling that blossoms into the swan. I mean, he certainly didn't start off with everyone thinking he was the cutest kid on the block.
No, he had an emergency appendicitis, and he ended up in the hospital for 7 months, and his mother kept feeding him. And by the time she, after 7 months, fed him so much, he was over, he gained 100 pounds. He couldn't wear any clothes. Even his father's pants were too tight. And he, you know, ballooned up to over 200 pounds. By the time he graduated, that weight stayed with him. It was 250 pounds. So no one knew how handsome he was until he lost all the weight. That's what his friends told me later. They never realized he is a good-looking guy. My gosh, he lost that weight, and look at him.
Do you know how he lost it?
Yes, mostly Weight Watchers. That was a big thing. He also had a personal trainer, and he also used to go jogging and sweat, but he watched what he ate. He was a junk food addict, as he used to say, and if he got upset, he would eat meat. But he did learn not to. He was very depressed when he was overweight, and he ended up seeing a psychiatrist in the city. He had a very sad, you know, part of his life was very, very sad, and he did get a lot of awards. His dream was to be a movie star. That never happened, and he kind of left this earth still wanting that, but didn't realize, I mean, it's 30 years later, or 38, I think, since he passed away, and people are still enjoying him on Bewitched. On YouTube, on I Dream a Genie. He was the hottest star of the 70s, the most guest star, the most popular. And he made a lot
yeah.
of money doing that.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because it almost feels like he felt like he never made it, and yet he's someone that's so unforgettable. Now, when you called, you got a book from the library at your school, and it had a directory of actors, and it had a phone number as like a business contact. And lo and behold, you call this number, and it's his home phone.
And he's like, how did you get my number? I said, it's in the library book. And he's like,
oh, my God, can you imagine? This is incredible. Were you just... what was happening? I would imagine physically you were just like heart racing. Oh my God, I can't believe I got him
yes.
on the phone. And yet you somehow had the ability at 17 to hold it together and not scream and actually converse with him and make a pitch to meet him.
Yes. I knew so much about him. I guess he was, you know, a little ego stroke there. You know, I just said, oh, and how's your dog? You know, after asking him about his shows and Donny Osmond and Marie and all that. And that kind of got to him that I knew so much about his dog. His dog was sick, having an operation on his paw. And then I kept saying, well, I know you come to New York. And he's like, I do. I said, well, are you coming soon? You know, very boldly. And he said, well, yeah, I
wow.
come at Thanksgiving. And I said, I have to meet you. And he went on, I cannot meet you. I cannot meet you. I don't know you. By the end of the conversation, I had asked him to my prom, which he said no. He said, I can't go to your prom. But then I said, you know what? I said, Mr. Lynn, can you meet me in the city for 5 minutes? I promise I'll bother you for a picture, an autograph, and I'll leave, and I'll have my father take you. And this is after quite a maybe 7-8 minutes on the phone, 4 minutes. I don't remember how long, but a lot of conversation. He wasn't hanging up. When I said my father will take me, I think that made him feel secure. I
yeah.
think I wore him down, and he said, okay, I'll meet you in the city. I stayed at the Pierre Hotel. You're going to meet me there. And 2 weeks later, my dad took me on the train. We go to the Pierre Hotel. I'm supposed to meet him at 3 o'clock, and the hotel's on fire. That
wow.
was a very crazy day. And I did. He ended up coming in, and after a few minutes, thank goodness he was a little late because they weren't letting anybody up to their suites. And he said, let's go down to the Sherry Netherlands. We can talk there because we couldn't go in the hotel. And what was supposed to be for 5 minutes and an autograph ended up being over 2 hours. And by the time I left, he said, Kathy, you have my home number. Here's my address. I want you to come out and see me. So then I went to California.
Isn't that wonderful?
We had a wonderful friendship until he passed away. So it was really special. And I wanted to share my story of how great he was. Because, you know, Paul had a bad rap in the newspapers. He was a heavy drinker. He had a lot of anger issues at times when he drank. Not around me. But I wanted people to see the other side of Paul Lynn. So I wanted to write it. It was started out as an article. And then I spoke to the Paul's family, the relatives, and they loved the story. And the next thing you know, I said, you know what? I'm just going to write his whole biography, because Peter Marshall said he'd give me a forward after speaking with him so kindly.
Yeah, and he did. He did a wonderful forward.
He sure did.
In fact, he says in his forward of your book, which I have in my hand, by the way, listeners, the book is Paul Lynn, a biography, his life, his loves, and his laughter, Kathy Fitzgibbon Rudolph. And Paul says that you, quote, unveiled things about Paul that I never knew. How amazing. The guy that hosted one of Paul's most popular shows says you taught him things about Paul.
Yeah, Peter loved it when I spoke to his wife one day. I was calling up. She goes, oh, my gosh, he's reading the book. He is laughing. He's enjoying it immensely. He just got a kick out of it. And after he read it, he said, I'm happy to give you a forward, which was so kind of him. And then Cloris Leachman, Kay Ballard, and Florence Henderson, and Cheetah Rivera, and everybody just contributed. I was amazed how many came forward and gave me some great stories. And the book is, you know, not just the fun, nice stuff. I have everything in there about Paul. I think it's a fair book. I think it should have been a fair book. And Paul once said, you know, if anybody's going to write about me, it better be the truth. So I stuck, you know, with his whole life, good, bad, and funny.
You know, on the as far as warts and all side, you, if I understand the book correctly, as a young teen girl with a crush on him, as we all were as kids, we were more naive about things. So, I mean, am I understanding correctly that you didn't really know his personal life and you know, that side of him? You more had this crush on him, and you weren't aware of that initially.
No, I thought it was an act. I really thought it was an act. And I had, you know, friends of mine, male friends especially, oh, why do you like him? He's gay. He doesn't like women. And I fought that tooth and nail. Paul was very affectionate with me, very warm with me. So I thought, he's not gay, you know. And then we'd go out dancing. We would dance cheek to cheek, and I would be melting in my heart. And then, you know, we were at a club one night, and then it was my birthday, and we were dancing to The Last Dance, and it was a great time, and it was my birthday, so we went dancing. And at the end of the night, I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is kind of romantic. I wonder where we're going after this. And then the lights flickered, and then I went over to Paul to the table. We were getting our stuff, and Paul says, okay, good night, Kathy. And I looked at him. My face dropped. He walked out with the waiter. That's when I knew.
When he walked out with the waiter.
Yeah, that's when I knew.
Do you think that, I mean, not to psychoanalyze, of course, only God knows, but do you think that some of his drinking or his self-loathing was that, I mean, he was in a culture where there was a lot more judgment, perhaps, than now, like, you know, I mean, back in that day, Rock Hudson and Liberace and some of our other stars had to kind of hide that until it was revealed by their illness. Do you think that was part of his struggle in terms of his unhappiness, his drinking, his depression?
I think it added to it. He had to hide it. But at the end, he was a little bold. I thought he was kind of a pioneer with the jokes on Hollywood Squares. Like,
oh, yeah.
They wrote the jokes, but, you know, you're the world's most popular fruit. What are you? And Paul would answer, humble. So he didn't mind those jokes. And, you know, nobody was laughing at him. They're laughing with him. And I thought that was kind of a key thing back then. He had to hide it. Those days you would lose your career. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You would lose your career.
So and a lot
that,
of those,
you know,
jokes, like you said, they really reference it. I remember one on Hollywood Squares where Peter asked, in our homes. I think it was something like, is the electricity AC or DC? And he said, in my home, it's both.
You got it.
He had a lot
songs.
Of jokes,
yeah.
That, you know, reference or, you know, talking about Tarzan, and I think he swings both ways. You know, he would always have,
yes,
those kind of double entendres, you know.
Yes, that's what made it so appealing.
And I think he was a pioneer because, you know, I think with any prejudice, for me, what I've seen prejudice lessen is when you become a friend of the person, you know, like I had back east, you know, white redneck friends who were very racist against blacks, and then when they, you know, hang out with me and meet some of my black friends, it seemed like, oh, wow, you know, that prejudice went down a few notches, because, and the same with people I know that are very hateful towards gays, and then they meet someone like Paul, who's such a great person, you know, it's harder to hate somebody, you know, when you meet somebody that, you know, if that makes sense. So I think the fact that he got America laughing about it, prepared the way for people to not be as hateful and towards gays.
Yeah, more accepting. And Paul, you know, back in the day, he trusted me. He let me see his personal life. And really, you know, I still loved him for who he was. And he knew that. And he also knew I was a little hurt that he, you know, wasn't returning the love I had in my heart. But in the end, loved him very much as a wonderful man to me. And I appreciated it that he took me into his life, very personal life, and really shared it with me. And I thought that made him really a special person. Yes, he's got a lot of bad rap out there, but I got to know a real good man because he had a very good heart when he felt secure. Like he always said to me, Kathy, I feel safe around you. That's what was his line to me.
That is, you were a true friend to him. And so, It's really, I think, a tremendous story, because this book is different than anything else about him. Paul Lynn, a biography. You can get it at Amazon, those of you listening, Kathy Fitzgibbon, Rudolph. Amazon link is on our show site there. That's the best place to send people that you send them to get the book, Kathy?
Yeah, and I have a few on eBay that are signed. I've been getting a lot of requests.
Uh-huh.
I don't have a lot on there, but, you know, there's a hard copy and a soft copy that I do sign if anybody wants it on eBay. Amazon has it in ebook, audiobook, hardcover, and soft cover, whatever anybody wants. It's out there.
Great. And I want to tell our listeners, if you want to email in your questions about Paul Lynn or to Kathy about this, we're on, I think, about another half hour or so. I think you have to go 3:30 p.m. your time, right? So give us about a half.
4:30 p.m. I got 35 minutes.
35 minutes,
sure.
Yeah. I mean California yeah. time. I'm a little confused, but it's about 12:53 p.m. California time. So we've got about 35 minutes. So you can send to richardrossilive@gmail.com any of your questions, or call in right there on that number on the screen there, 347-637-2379. So we'll be right back with you, Kathy, and we'll check these questions coming in, okay? If you can just hang on the line.
Sure.
And while we're checking these questions, let's give you guys maybe another Paul joke or two, and we'll be back in about a half a minute with Kathy and your questions. We'll be right back, and here is the master, Paul Lynn, some of his one-liners when Peter Marshall throws him those questions on the Hollywood Square.
According to Reverend Billy Graham, there is a price to be paid for every miracle and blessing we receive. And the minimum requirement is what?
$5, $10.
True or false? They use cow's horns to make ice cream.
You mean those weren't chocolate chips?
True or false? Every day, about 10 million American women take the pill.
And I can name them all.
Gee, I don't mean to bother you, Doc, but it's a mystery to me why it took so long to get this show on the air. It certainly ties up all the loose ends with Christian talk. Gee, my wife just loves this show, Doc.
Well, thank you, Columbo, and thank you, Peter Falk. And we got your questions coming in here. Nick in Sacramento has a question. A couple of the questions come in are about stories and whether you want to comment if they're true or not, or whether, you know, some of these are a little scandalous, so you may or may not want to comment. But the first is that a man allegedly died years ago, drunk or something, fell off Paul's balcony and the studio covered it up or something. That's the claim. But what is that something you want to address, or do you know if that ever happened or what really happened there?
It did happen. It's in my book. I detailed it in there. Yes, Paul was out with a friend. They drank a lot that night. They went back to the hotel, and Paul went in first, and about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, I'm not sure the exact time, his friend followed afterwards. And then while they were in the room, his friend went out on the ledge and started doing tricks. Drunk, high, whatever. And Paul ignored him. I'm guessing they had a fight. Knowing Paul, you know, he'll ignore you or whatever. And maybe the guy was doing it to get his attention. I have no idea. But he started to fall. And Paul grabbed him by the wrist, ran out there. And there were two police officers down there watching. And his friend did fall to his death. And Paul brought it up to me and said it was the most horrible thing in his life. And the papers kind of covered it up. Paul didn't. He thought his career was over. He was sure that day it was over. And even years later, when we were out one day at a festival for celebrities, I was with Paul, and somebody brought it up to him. And Paul said, you know what? These people ask me, here I am for the children, and I got to bring this up. It has nothing to do with kids. It was a horrible day. So that did happen. But the papers kind of smushed it. You know, in back in the day, they had respect. Newspapers had respect. They weren't going to, you know, it was in the paper. It was in a couple of papers. But that is a true story. And unfortunately, his friend did die.
So, Kathy, are you saying that at times people would try to hurt him with this? Like if he was appearing or doing something for kids, that a reporter once in a while would try to shame him with this?
Yeah, yes, more than once. And he was always afraid to do interviews. And he even opened up to a newspaper, Newsday, my local Newsday newspaper about it, and he brought it up himself because he said, I know people think about this, and my friend did fall to his death, and the family wrote to him, and it was considered an accident, and that was that. I mean, I wasn't there, and that's what I know.
Yeah, it seems like that might have compounded the shame for him, and the media. The media now is so much into the gotcha journalism where they want to shame people over bad things. And, you know, maybe in a way it was better back then. Like you say, there was a certain respect. Like I've had a guy on my show that knew about some of JFK's affairs, but, you know, they thought, well, you know, for the dignity of the office, you know, we're not going to – they actually, the reporters were like, we respect them too much. We're not going to – you know, write all the dirt, so to speak. So maybe in some ways he didn't get as much hassle that he would have had maybe today in the, you know, social media age. I don't know, maybe in a way. Yeah. What time period was it this happened, Kathy?
Oh, gosh, that was before I knew him. I'm going to guess late 60s. It's in the book. I don't remember offhand.
I was thinking that too, 60s. Let's see here. Going to the next one. Dean in Minnesota has another story that he was pulled over. He might have been drinking or something, and they rolled down the window, and the cop came to the window, and he I can picture this in Paul's voice. He said, I'll take a Big Mac and fries.
Exactly.
I've heard that story many times. That one's really gone around. Do you think that really happened?
Oh, I know that happened. Paul actually said that happened. Paul tells a story. He says he was drunk and he was almost home, and he went up the curb. He said he was so close to home, and then the siren and the guy pulls up, and Paul sees him with the, you know, pencil and pad, and as the officer got to the window, Paul rolled down his window, and he yelled, I'll have a He actually said, I'll have a hamburger all the way. That's what Paul actually said. And the cop laughed and recognized his voice, and he escorted him home. Now,
so
Paul didn't get lucky all the time, but that cop was nice.
So his humor may have helped him there, huh?
Oh, yeah. And the guy was a fan, so that helped. Not all the time, but it's that particular time did help, yes.
Well, in your book, I was reading towards the end of his life that he wasn't drinking. I think he got sober and even didn't want you to drink and had an eye on you about drinking. You tell that story towards the end. So it seemed like he did find some sobriety towards the end.
Yes, he did. He was trying to clean up his act. He was trying to cut down on smoking and drinking less and less. And last time I was with him, I think he was drinking a tab. Boy, am I dating myself, right? Remember the diet drink tab? That's what he was drinking,
I
was surprised. And I was happy to see that, you know, he was trying to not drink as heavy.
Mm, yeah, that's good. I'm glad he got healthier at the end, though, although it's kind of sad he died so young. He was like mid-50s, right?
55 years old. Heart attack.
Wow, I just turned 56, so.
Gary.
There were
but his
some
mom
rumors.
Is dead.
Some people were trying to spread some rumors he died of AIDS, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
Not at all.
And they're telling me we had a message come in from you. I hope I didn't mispronounce your name, that it's Fitzgibbon without the S.
Yeah, you're fine. You got it. It's fine.
Okay. It's not Fitzgibbon. It's not Fitzgibbons.
Fitzgibbon without the S. I'm a rare.
Without the S. Okay.
Yeah, that's my maiden name.
Well, I'll make sure we correct that on the site there.
No worries.
You know, one show I really liked, I wanted to ask about any thoughts you had. You do have a nice write-up in the book about it, was the Halloween show. That was such a unique collection of characters. You had the two great witches, Margaret Hamilton from Wizard of Oz, and then you had
Billy Hayes.
Billy Hayes, yeah, from H&R Puff and stuff. And then you had the band Kiss, and Kiss just blew up after that. I mean, everybody was playing Kiss records. And in Florence Henderson, Donnie and Marie. I mean, this cast was just such a collection,
I love it.
I don't know. They thought it was missing, and you couldn't find the tape for a while. But I have a copy of this, and it's so much fun.
It is. It's very unique. It's a little campy. It's got a little disco, a little silly. It's clean family shows from way back when. He made it more of a variety show, which is what he grew up with. New faces and. That era was a lot of variety, and that's what he did, skits and humor for the kids, and I love it. I watch it every year on Halloween. I make that my annual Halloween show to watch.
And another movie I have on order, I might have told you, that's coming in, is Son of Flubber. He's in that Disney film.
Yeah, he's the commentator.
And now, thanks to, I think it's Antenna TV, he's on Saturday nights on Antenna TV, 9:30 p.m.
The Paul Lynn
show.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I have people writing me. They didn't even know he had the Paul Lynn show. It only lasted one year, one season. But people, I think, are appreciating it now. A lot of the writing was, I thought, very good, but not for that time. Now people are realizing how it's funny. People are watching it. They're loving it.
You know, people have said, and I hope this doesn't sound like a put down, but it's just what some have said, is that Paul was better as a character actor where he didn't have to carry the whole thing. I've heard many, you know, writers and critics say things like that. Now, I mean, I enjoy him for the whole thing. He can carry a show for me. And in the Halloween special, I loved him doing it all. You even have him dancing disco, like you said, and singing, move it in, move it out.
That's right.
But he can carry a show for me anytime. And I'm sure you probably feel the same. We love him. But, some people felt like he was actually stronger if he's just that quirky character actor, you know, like in Bewitched. And have you heard that?
Oh, gosh, yes. And I get that. It's, you know what, even when I watched the Paul Lynn show, I knew Paul. He had a more natural voice. That was a put-on voice.
So he didn't talk like that all the time?
No. And I thought if he talked like himself, spoke like himself more, I think it would have been more tolerable. And I've also seen him do summer stock plays, and he doesn't always do that. And he was a very good actor. He went to Northwestern for acting. He wanted to be a serious actor. That really never happened. He only did, I think, two shows years ago that he had serious parts in. That was it. Everybody knew him for his voice. It's his voice. His voice is unique. And he did so many voice characters for Journey Back to Oz and, Templeton the Rat, And there's a bunch of others that he did for Hanna-Barbera. You know, he had a great voice for cartoons. So
yeah,
his
there
voice
was one.
Get obnoxious.
Wasn't there one with the race cars? Wasn't he one of the voices in? Was it Wacky Races? I'm testing my memory here, but you know,
Penelope picked up.
Yeah.
Played the villain. Great, great cartoon. People loved it. People still write to me about that show. He was the Hooded Claw, and some people said that was the scariest character growing up. Yeah. That's kind of,
yeah.
And there were others, too, but those are the ones that stand out.
What's your favorite thing he did?
Hollywood Squares. That's where
yeah.
I fell in love with him. Second
that's
to that.
That's the first one that I think of.
Yeah. That, second to that is Uncle Arthur Bewitched.
You know, I've seen him also on Monsters. I've seen him on a lot
mm-hmm.
of things. He just pops in, and it seems like he's always the favorite guy. You know, he's like the best guy in whatever he pops in, you know.
He steals those scenes, yep.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you got to see him become sober and drug-free in 1980. So he dies at 55. That must have been really devastating. How did you find out, or where were you? I imagine for you it's like, you know, my mom's generation says everyone remembers where they were, you know, when
mm-hmm.
JFK died.
Mm-hmm.
And certain iconic pop figures. I remember when I heard about Michael Jackson dying, and there's those kind of moments. Elvis, I remember being in an amusement park with my mother and brothers when I heard Elvis died. Do you remember where you were and how you heard that Paul died?
Of course. It was about maybe 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. I was at my desk at my office, and the phone rang, and it was a friend of mine, Robin, and she said, "Kathy, I just heard on the radio Paul Lynn died." I hung up. I didn't believe her. I didn't believe it at all.
You didn't want to believe that. And
no, and
I'm
like, can't
he's only 55.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. And then
and
the phone rang again.
And you had just seen him not long. Wasn't it like just, I mean, it was less than 6 months ago, you and your school friend had a dinner. I think if I remember from the book, it was like an Asian dinner or something. You had got together
after
a show
with him. Oh, right, Chinese. Right, right. And I had spoken to him 2 weeks before. He always called
You'd
me
spoken
Christmas
him
Eve.
Two
every
weeks
Christmas.
Before.
Yeah, he always called me Christmas Eve. He called me New Year's Eve. We always, you know, which I thought was the sweetest thing in the world, Christmas Eve,
it
calling
is.
Me every year. But,
that's
yes,
so
after that phone call, then the phone rang again. It was my mother. As soon as I heard her voice, I knew it was true.
I think it's nice that they not only had the Hollywood, California, you know, the California memorial, but also in his hometown in Ohio, they did
mm-hmm.
something there at the church, or I think he was buried there with his brother and sister back there. I think it's nice that that returned him to his roots back in Ohio.
Mount Vernon, yes, Amityville Cemetery. He's there with his mother, father, well, I guess it's all his siblings now. But, yes,
yeah.
That's what they did. They did two ceremonies. Very nice.
Yeah. Have you been able to, you know, make the trip to Ohio to see his grave and everything?
No, they keep asking me to come down. Maybe next year I have to figure that out. Mount Vernon, it's on my list. I'm doing a convention in September, and Ohio, I think only May works, and I have a wedding. So maybe next year. It is
yeah.
on my list.
And what do you think of some of the takeoffs on him? Like the what's your feeling about American Dad, the alien, Roger the alien?
Oh, Seth Rothman makes great characters, and I think, you know, I know he did it after Paul Lynn, but it's such a compliment to Paul. It's a big compliment. Any imitation is a compliment.
Yeah, that, you know, my mom used to say imitation's a form of flattery.
Yes,
how about
true.
Did you see the new well, not new. This is, shows out to me at my age something in the 21st century is new, but it's now you know 14 years ago that the 2005 remake Bewitched. Did you happen to see Steve Carell do Uncle Arthur? It seemed like he was definitely imitating Paul Lynn.
Oh, I thought he was pretty good. I didn't
yeah.
see the whole movie. I only tuned into that part just to see. I thought he
yeah.
liked it. I thought he did a decent job.
Do you think if he was around today, would he be any different, or do you think he would be more open about his personal life? Or?
He'd be more open. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd be open and proud.
Yeah. What do you want readers to know about him the most? If you could just tell them a few adjectives about Paul, if you would describe a few adjectives and say this is the essence, and some of the tabloid media that just focused on the drinking or the, you know, they put these monikers on him, self-loathing gay men, all that kind of just junk stuff. Who he really was as your friend, what would you want him to know in terms of maybe adjectives to describe him?
He was loyal to people who were loyal to him. He had a great sense of humor. He also had a very serious side, very serious side. He hurt easily. He didn't like to see, criticism in the papers. It hurt him. And he had a bitter side. He absolutely did. Not around me, but I know he did. And he could curse people out when he drank, his best friends, and later on he did feel bad. He should have never drank. It made him it made the worst in him come out. But he was naturally funny, even though a lot of the, shows were written for him. Paul was naturally funny, very intelligent, a gentleman, a real gentleman. I mean, here he's a star, and I'm the one he's holding the door for. I'm the one he's getting a drink for. I'm the one he's, walking in arm in arm. If you knew Paul, because he was so insecure, a lot of people were either disliked him, not a lot, enough of them. But if you really got to know him and he felt he was approachable, but people didn't get that. So, his fans know, and to this day, everybody out there who likes Paul Lynn to this day or remembers him, if he saw you in the street and you said, "Can I have your autograph or a picture?" he'd drop everything and do it. He adored his fans, and he appreciated them so much.
Mm. A lot of people are really glad you're on the show. We have a lot of people just sending in that they're really enjoying our interview, and they're sharing the link. And I want to let all you know listening that you can share this link even after today. For people that miss this interview live, it will go on in perpetuity where anyone can click the same link and replay it, because a lot of people are shopping on Saturday and might miss it or whatever. It's fine. This link will always be good. Kathy, what are some of the things that stick out to you in terms of feedback from fans? I mean, you've been out there now as probably the biggest Paul Lynn fan and biographer. And your book is on Amazon and eBay, signed copies, Paul Lynn, a biography, Kathy Fitzgibbon Rudolph. What are some of the things you hear from fans or readers of your book that really stick out to you? I know as an author, there's certain things that stick out in my mind of people that have read some of my books that I cherish or they were touched in some way. What are some of the feedback from your book and your friendship with Paul?
So many have written. And the biggest compliment is that they read the book twice. That always blows my mind. They loved it. Others said,
yeah,
"I got to know Paul Lynn vicariously through you." Some others have said to me, "I remember reading so much bad about him, I had no idea there was this much good in him. Thank you
wow.
for writing and showing us this." The biggest thing is that people are surprised how sad his life was. He had to sell his blood. In the city, he had no money. It took him 9 years to start. His career just took forever. And I go into the depth. His relatives gave me some great stories, and some people love the stories that I tell. There's an Uncle Arthur, Uncle Paul chapter, and that's from his relatives that I interviewed growing up with their real Uncle Paul, and of course with Uncle Arthur as Bewitched, and there's similarities there. And people write and tell me that they're sad that he was so sad. They really, we all wished, that everybody has a true love in their life. And he kind of never really had that. He kind of kept people at a distance in his own way. Even his relationships didn't work out too well. But that's what people love to hear, that he did have a soft side, that he loved his fans, that he loved his dog, that was his most loyal companion in his life. Really,
yeah, and you have some great pictures in your book of the dogs. And I think it was in your book I read, because I've been reading different things about him also online, that he was so sad when his dog died. I think the dog was named Arthur. Did he pick that? Or no, Alfred. I think it was Alfred.
Alfred. Yeah. Alfred was named after. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, Alfred was named after Alfred Lunt, the theater, major theater actor from years ago.
Now, when Alfred the dog died, I mean, is it true? I heard he loved this dog so much. I think you may have, I may have read it in your book, that he didn't even want to go back in his house after that. I don't know if the dog died in the house or whatever, but he moved. I mean, he just was in so much grief over the dog.
Yeah, not, we're going to confuse this. I don't want to confuse anybody. Harry was the dog, Harry, that was named after Harry McAfee when he played the father in Bye Bye Birdie. That was the dog he had for 15 years that died. It couldn't get up the stairs. That's why he sold his house. I went to his new house. It was a one level. He did that. But before he got into the new house, his dog did pass away. And then Paul said, you know, I can't stay here. And he did move for himself, too. He didn't, you know. And I saw him right after his dog died, and he was very down, very, very down. Alfred survived Paul when Paul died. His nieces ended up taking Alfred, big giant poodle that I met, too, and they took care of him. But Harry, his dog, was the love of his life, and he always said he was like a wife, a companion, a best friend. You know, that was his relationship with Harry. 15 years he had his dog.
And named after Harry McAfee is part in Bye Bye Birdie. I love
Bye Bye
Kids and Bye Bye Birdie, and I also like how he riffs on that in the Halloween special. Kids.
Yeah.
You mentioned that he felt disappointed he wasn't as recognized as other people seem to get more recognition in certain ways, like Bye Bye Birdie. Dick Van Dyke got the Tony Award, which was well deserved. He was great and put on a happy face. But Paul was of course just as great in his own way, but he seemed to get passed over a lot in those kind of things, didn't he?
Yes. You know, a lot of people, like when I spoke to Chita Rivera, obviously I didn't see the Broadway show. I was only, I think, 5 when that came out. But Chita Rivera said she never heard laughter for so long and so loud as when Paul was on that stage.
Yeah.
You know, even though she said he was a little tough to work with too, a little demanding. He was a perfectionist. I mean, if your timing went off when he's supposed to come in, he'll rip you apart. But, you know, he was a professional perfectionist, so that's not terrible, but he could have done it a little nicer. But
yeah.
Broadway, you know, he thought he should have gotten an award. That was the best musical of the year they won. I think Cheetah got either nominated or so many, but Paul was passed over, and he was a little upset with Dick Gordier because he was up for an award. Not him, not Paul.
Yeah, and, you know, he was, you know, sometimes a perfectionist, people said, or difficult. But, you know, I think a lot of gifted people are that way. You know, Sinatra would be real tough on the musicians. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of times a gifted person, they have such high standards. And, you know, it's kind of part of the package, you know. And that's why I'm so glad for your book. And I encourage those of you listening to get this book on eBay or Amazon, Paul Lynn, a biography, Kathy Fitzgibbon Rudolph, because, you know, art comes through people who are unique and, you know, sometimes a tortured genius, you know, and
mm-hmm.
you know, we're in a kind of a politically correct climate where people are wanting to, you know, just almost, you know, ban art from or songs or movies or TV shows based on problems the person may have had. And I think that's really a wrong way to go because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole history of art, a lot of artists have had their own personal demons. And, you know, there's a book, Touched with Fire, a psychiatrist wrote, and it's all about how, you know, different novelists and comedians and actors and painters throughout history have had alcoholism or drug addiction or sexual self-loathing over some sexual issue or depression
mm-hmm.
or mental illness. And, you know, Paul was, you know, some of the most gifted people among us often do battle the sadness and the depression. And
mm-hmm.
I wish he could have stayed around longer than he did, as I'm sure
mm-hmm.
you do.
Mm-hmm.
When did you know, he dies at age 55. When did you decide, or when did it kick in? I know in your book you do talk, Kathy, about, you know, Paul asking you what you'd like to do. And you said, maybe I'd be a writer. And, but at that point, you were just had a crush and a friendship with him. When did you realize, I want to write this book, I want to put this into a book?
I always wanted to share the unique story of this big celebrity who befriends someone like me, just an ordinary girl at the time. I thought that was so unique. I thought it was like, it's like a fairy tale. People dream, to this day, people have crushes. Oh, I wish I could meet this one. It happened to me. It became a real part of my life. But I didn't do anything. I went on, life went on. Paul had passed away. I thought about it. Then I had children. Long story short, my company I was working for closed. And I went, I have time. If I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. So that was the opportunity. And the went from an article to, you know, a full book on his life. I decided, you know what, if I can reach his family and other people, I'll make this a real interesting book, not just from my perspective, because my story of meeting him is just a small compared to the book, but it is unique, and it kind of goes into the story, and then you can see Paul's personality from my point of view, and then from others as celebrities who work with him and his family, et cetera. I thought it was a complete good way to show Paul's entire life and personality.
Well, he's so blessed to have a friend like you, and I'm so glad you had the courage to actually step out and do this. Now, your dad goes with you to meet him, which I think was really nice and proper, and that probably made everybody feel everything was on the up and up. What did Mom think about this? What did your mom and dad think about that? Did they think it was a little crazy at first, or did they always get that you had this special thing for Paul Lynn, or how did they react?
Well, you know, I used to write to Paul when I was 15, and he would answer just about every letter anybody wrote. So when I got something from him, you know, my mother would be overjoyed and excited. You know, you wait for the mail, it comes in. My parents would sit down with me, Hollywood Squares, a Bewitched. Whenever he was on TV, it was a family thing. The phone would ring, friends would call. Kathy Paulin's on this, Paul, you know, so it was very good. My mom did not want me to go to California. I guess how old was I then? I forget. 19, 20, 20, 22? I forget. I'm sorry. I was over the age, though. And I said, Ma, I'm going. And she's like, I really don't want you going to his house. I said, Ma, I'm going, and I'm bringing friends, and it'll be all right. And my father said, Pat, you know, I met her. I met Paul. He's a gentleman. He's a very nice man. I do trust him with her. Plus, she'll be with other people. So I went.
And at this point,
was,
did Mom and Dad have any awareness he was gay at this point?
You know, my grandmother asked him behind my back after I met him. She said, is he? And she put a finger up like straight. I didn't even know what she was talking about. That was so funny. Now I know. And my father, I don't know what my father answered. And later on, my dad said to me, as you know, as we, he goes, I do some book signings and I do some lectures. My dad does join me often. And people ask him that. And my father would say, you know what? The first time I met him, I wasn't sure. But later on, when we went to other places, because my dad didn't join me, there was a gentleman hanging around, and my dad, well, that gentleman, he figured it out. I didn't. I thought Paul's secretary. I just, you know, Paul says, this is my secretary. I believe him. My dad, no, that's not secretary. You know, this is years later, he'd tell me. So it was kind of cool.
It's also nice to see his family life at Christmas at his home and having his, you know, he was the uncle, and he had his nieces and nephews and things like that. That was really nice. I mean, no one's ever shown that side of him before.
No, that's what I wanted people to say. He was a great uncle. He was generous to them, and he was very respectful. The family always says very respectful about his love life. He knew to, you know, he doesn't want to make a scandal for anybody, and he was always a gentleman about it.
So did he kind of keep that from the family and the nephew and nieces? Was that almost like a segregated double life thing, or did they know about it? I mean, what?
They wouldn't question it. Some of them knew. And for the younger ones, it was just Paul's friend who was usually a chauffeur, which it might have been his real chauffeur at the time. You know, nobody questioned. He was just respectful, was never questioned.
Yeah. I sure love him. We love him in our family, and we're like you. And anytime he's on anything, we just, you know, he's the favorite. I mean, like any show he's on, those are our favorite episodes. The Bewitched episodes with him are the best Bewitched episodes. The Monsters are the best Monsters if he's on.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood Squares, without him, it's not a tenth as good on the episodes where he's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, I thought it was nice. Ellen, you mentioned, I think, this in your book, when she was in the center square, put a picture of him on
Ellen
her in front of her there. I think you mentioned that in the book, if I recall.
Yes, she was sitting in the center square on Hollywood Squares, the newer ones. And she held up a picture of Paul Lynn And it's funny because I wanted her to do my forward for the book originally. I couldn't quite get through to her office, but then I got a hold of Peter Marshall, who I really thought would work with the book. But I thought that was nice about Ellen. That's why I kind of thought about her, too. I thought, what a nice tribute. That was beautiful.
Yeah, it really was. I really appreciate her doing that. And Peter Marshall is still with us, I think, in his 90s. Isn't that something?
Yeah, he's great. I'm hoping he's coming to a convention with me in September. We may be down in Maryland, in Baltimore. I think the area is Baltimore.
Uh-huh. And is it a Hollywood Squares convention?
No, it's going to be it's the Mid-Atlantic Convention, which is a lot of celebrities from the past that come up, and everybody can meet them and say hello. Last year I did a talk on Hollywood Squares. The year before I did a talk on Paul Lynn. And hoping this year Peter and I will do a question and answer about Paul and Hollywood Squares.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, it'd be fun. Can't wait. I haven't met him yet.
You know, we have a lot of those Hollywood shows out here, too. Maybe you could come sometime. They call it the Hollywood Show, and a lot of times they're at the hotel here in Burbank. And
I'd love it.
Yeah, if you Google Hollywood Show, they do a lot of those autograph shows. In fact, I went to one not long ago because Lee Meriwether, who was Catwoman in the Batman movie and also on Barnaby Jones, a lot of those shows, I had some very personal things that were her mother's that I had because an editor on a film my film editor had some of this stuff, and I was kind of urging him to get it back to Lee, and he was kind of dragging his feet. And I said, you know what, I just saw in the paper she's going to be at this autograph thing, and I brought the stuff from her mom, and she just broke down crying, and she was just, I was so glad I followed that impulse. And that'll be a really wonderful time. How can people keep up with you or your appearances or what you're doing or the book? Do you have a certain website or you direct them
I'm on Twitter. It's under Paul Lynn Book or Paul Lynn Author. I'm also on Facebook, Paul Lynn Day Biography, His Life, His Love, and His Laughter. And if on Facebook, I answer just about everybody, you know, who sends me a message. And
that's how I found you, Facebook, Kathy Fitzgibbon Rudolph, and we're Twitter. We follow each other on Twitter. And and then you got the page on Facebook for the book itself.
Yes, that's
what's
where most
Facebook
people
find the Facebook page for
it.
The book itself, Paul Lynn Book?
Paul Lynn, A Biography, His Life, His Love, and His Laughter.
Uh-huh.
And then Twitter, it's Paul Lynn Book or Author Paul Lynn. I have it under both. I forget how that works.
So you have the Facebook page is the actual title of the book, Paul Lynn.
Yes.
A Biography, His Life, His Love, and Laughter. And there's you holding, I just went to there, and there's you holding the book.
Yeah. And then I got a bunch of stuff on Paul there. And people
I love
write.
The picture you have with the book and then the him in the center square. That's great, the banner on your Facebook page. Wonderful.
I love it too.
Well, you keep up the good work. Since you have to run now in a minute, why don't you? I'll give you our closing minute to say whatever you want to say, Kathy, and just anything you want to say about Paul or your book or how to get it. Anything just for our closing minute.
Thank you. Yes, the book. Like I said, I have a few signed copies on eBay. You have to look for the book on eBay. Look for signed copies. That's from me. Also, Amazon. It's on audiobook. It's on hardcover, softcover. An ebook. I think people, if you like Paul Lynn, really, you got to read the book because you get to know Paul and you'll learn things good, bad, and funny, unique stories, some that you probably never heard before, and lots of pictures that you can enjoy too. And I thank everybody who, on behalf of Paul Lynn, who still remembers him because he'd be so thrilled that so many still enjoy him.
We love you, Paul, and I sure hope in the afterlife we get to all give you a big hug and hear that great laugh again and see that great smile again.
Terrific. I would love that too.
Well, God bless you and your family, and thank you so much, Kathy, for writing this book, which I have enjoyed so much, and I've enjoyed our interview. You've just given me a fresh appreciation and learned a lot about a guy that we've all loved since we were kids, so thank you so much.
Well, Richard, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me, and I enjoyed being here. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Okay, bye, Kathy. And thank you, everybody, for listening to Richard Rossi Live. Go with God and be blessed, each and every one of you. and we'll see you next time when you tune in.